Yes. It's a great truth here in Isaiah, many of them, but this is a great one in Isaiah 26. And Isaiah 26 is a song that, you know, God shows Isaiah, says this is what they're going to be singing about. You know, eventually this is what they're going to be singing. You know, my people will sing this. And in chapter 26, like it says in verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Here's the song. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. You know, the wall of the city, the guard of the city, will be salvation. You know, great illustration, great figure of speech. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. You know, that righteous nation, those people that keep the truth, can enter into this great city. And this is the song. This is like, this is what they're looking forward to. This is what they will sing in that day. And verse 3, which is a very familiar verse to many of us, right? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, thou, God, you will keep him in perfect peace. Whoever it is that stays their mind on you because they trust you, you will keep him in perfect peace. You know, that's a great place to be in life. Within our hearts is at peace, not only with ourselves, but with God and with what's going on around us. And it begins, you know, it talks about that trust that we need to have in God, because that's what allows us to be peaceful in life. That's what allows us to be free of conflict and free of anxiety, free of stress, free of all the things that the world keeps you in. It says, verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. You know, that's where your strength is. It's in God, the Jehovah. You know? This is our strength. As we trust in Him, because He is our strength, we have peace. You know, we need to understand that peace doesn't come just because the circumstances change. Sometimes people look for circumstances to change and then they're unstressed. Then they're at peace. But God says, look, you don't need to do that. You can understand and really know in the depth of your heart that you can be at peace if you just trust God. Stay your mind upon Him. And to stay your mind upon God isn't just mean, go into a meditational trance and start chanting, God, 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 God. No. Yeah. To stay your mind upon God is to stay your mind on His strength, on His promises, on the things that He has done for you as you've trusted Him through the years. He's done something for all of us. At least one thing. Has He not? Right? Well, remember those things. Stay your mind on that which He has done for you. It's not just on Him, it's on what He is for you. And for us, He's our Heavenly Father. He has made us His children. He's made us perfect before Him. He has opened His arms to us whenever we need Him. He's been there for us, hasn't He?
Yes.
You know? No matter what we've done, even within, you know, the past 5 minutes, if we come to God, His arms are open. It's about His grace. It's about His mercy. We're to stay our mind on that. And then we can remain at peace regardless of what's going on around us. Because we know that we live in a city whose walls are salvation. It's our salvation. That's what protects us. We've been saved by His grace. You know, this looks forward to something that we have now. You know, we have this now. We have a place to dwell where the walls are our salvation. We've been saved. We're born again of God's Spirit. You know, we are saved from the wrath to come. We're saved. We're made whole in every respect, both now and in the future. And so we can Stay our mind on those things. Remember those things day by day. And then we'll have perfect peace. Perfect peace. That will keep him in peace? No, perfect peace. This is a place that you can't have, you can't dwell there unless you stay your mind and trust God. Trust that the things that He has promised and said to you are real and true. Right? Look at Psalm 56. It's about trusting God. It says, in verse 1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God." And we know God is. You know, we know He is. You know, and that's the thing. That's one of the things that when you go to the Old Testament and you read these things like in Psalms and in, you know, in any of the Old Testament records, you need to understand that it's speaking in light of them not having acquired the salvation that the Messiah made available to them yet. They're looking forward to it. That's why he says in this record, "God, you know, please be merciful to me." Now, looking back at what the Messiah has done, we know that He is merciful to us. And we thank Him for His mercy. We don't ask Him to be merciful. We know that He is merciful. We know that He is gracious. We know that He has provided all things for us through Christ. So that's, you know, whenever you read like that, you need to understand that your prayer is never to ask God to be merciful. Because He's proved beyond any doubt that He is merciful. Mercy is the withholding of righteous judgment. Right? That's what mercy means. Don't judge me, please. Don't judge me the way I should be judged. That's what He's asking for. See? And God in Christ has already done that for us. He's already judged us as righteous, justified. See? And because of that, He is sanctified you, set you apart. See? So, when we look at that, we could rephrase it and say, "God, I'm glad you're merciful to me." Yeah. "For man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresses me." You know, out there in the world, the unbeliever's after me. Right? "Mine enemies," and this is, you know, is all about those times again. "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. They be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will what?
Trust.
I'll trust You." Yeah, there are circumstances in life that sometimes present some things to be afraid of. But we know that God is merciful to us, and we can trust Him. We trust Him. "I trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust." In Him. Not in my own abilities, but in Him and in His mercy and His grace. "I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." I'm just not going to be afraid. That's the result of trusting God. That's part of that perfect peace. Having perfect peace is having no fear. Isn't that a nice place to live? I think so. It's a great place to be in your life. Is not having any fear. I'm just not afraid. I'm not afraid of anybody or anything out there. Because I trust God. Because I know who He is and what He has done for me. I stay my mind on those things that He's done for me. I know that He's made me more than a conqueror in situations in times past. I know that He will make me more than a conqueror now. Because He's earned it for me. He has done it for me through the works of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at Psalm 27. This is another great. And you know, you could go all these places and see the result of trusting God is having no fear. It's not telling yourself you don't have to be afraid. It's seeing that peace that you have, that perfect peace, keeps you from being afraid. It's like, I'm not afraid anymore. I don't know why, but I'm nose to nose with a roaring lion, and yet I'm not afraid. Because I have put my trust in God. You know, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he didn't shiver in a corner in fear. Did it doesn't say that he did. He trusted God. God, he'll take care of me. Now, praise God, we're not going to get thrown to the lions. Not anytime soon, anyway. But even in that, we don't have to be afraid. Psalm, what did I say, 27? 27. This is a great psalm. We're going to read it. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If He is my light and my salvation, if God..." Right? Like we read in Romans, remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who? Nobody. No. They can be. They can try and be against you, but they're not going to succeed. The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When God is that much trusted in your heart, this is the kind of attitude you can have. This is being at perfect peace. It's knowing that, you know, God's there. God's working. God's going to deliver you. God's going to get you the things that you need. God will provide for you all the things that He's promised. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me," or "came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Isn't that, it's a great figure of speech. You know, even mine enemies came and they wanted to just chew me up, spit me out, and they couldn't even get close to me. They stumbled and fell. "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." In this will I be confident. You know, that God's there for me. And I don't have to be afraid. You know, this is perfect peace. But it doesn't come unless we trust God. Then, as we trust Him, we'll stay our mind on Him. We'll remember the things that He has done for us, just like David was doing right here. "Mine enemies came, they wanted to chew me up, and they stumbled and fell." You know, that's why I'm just not afraid. They can, you know, the whole world could set up against me, and people look at me and go, "You're crazy. You should be in fear." No, I'm not afraid. Because I know how big God is. And I know what He's committed to me. He's committed to us. He purchased us with a price. With the price of Jesus Christ, His Son. He is committed to you. Right? That's what the reality is. That's the practical side of it. It's not just about salvation and raising holy hands. It's about knowing that God is committed to you. He's purchased you. He's made you His child. He's committed Himself to you. You know, we walk around and out there in the world and we see so much religion. It's so repugnant because it doesn't take this really for what it is. We can trust God and stay at peace, perfect peace. We can look at the world around us and have no fear. What's fear going to do for you anyway? What has it ever done for you? It freezes an individual. It freezes you. It traps you. It enslaves you. That's all fear does. Now I know there's, you know, the self-preservation thing, you know, that if you're scared enough, you'll run out of trouble. Okay, I know that part. But in life, if you're afraid of failure, you'll never seek to succeed. In life, if you're afraid to walk out the door, you're going to be hit with avian flu. You're going to stay in your little bubble and not do anything. If you're afraid that you cannot do something, you won't even try. And God says, just trust me. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And I will keep you in perfect peace. I will keep you there. You don't have to keep reminding yourself, just be peaceful. Just calm down. Mm-hmm. No, no, God will keep you in perfect peace because He continues to reassure you that He has committed Himself to you. Just like He committed Himself to Israel, He called them out. He said, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. Now just follow me. He committed Himself to them. I'm confident in that. See? In verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. This is the only thing I desire of God, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I just want to dwell with God. And that's at the heart of what it means to stay our mind on Him and to trust Him. If that's our motive, just to dwell with Him, then it's easy. Then it's easy. If my motive is to stay out of trouble, that could get hard sometimes. If my motive is to perfect myself or my life, I could get in trouble a little bit. But if my motive is just simply to dwell in His presence, I just want to walk with my Heavenly Father. I just want to dwell with Him because He's invited me to. That's how simple it is. Well, how do I get to this place of really trusting God, of really allowing Him to keep me in perfect peace? Well, just desire to dwell with Him. Have that as your motive. Not, you know, there's no other motive. You can think of 1,000 other motives, but this is the motive. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, to behold His beauty, His love, His grace, His awesomeness, and to inquire in His temple. When I have questions, I go to Him. I don't go everywhere else. I go to Him. That's all I want. That's my motive. Right? For why? For verse 5. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. He'll be my guard. He'll be my refuge. Right? In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, a firm place. Right? This is what He does. It's not what we do. We don't find a rock to go stand on. A firm place. He sets us there. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Not of fear, right? Of joy. Because I sacrifice to Him. I give Him of all that I have because He's blessed me. Not because I'm looking for a blessing, but He has blessed me already. He's raised me up. So I'll offer to Him. Anything we do to give to God of any part of our life, it's because we recognize that He has already blessed us. It's not to get anything. I will sing, yea, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. You know, again, that mindset of looking forward to the mercy of God, not having already received it. And verse 8, he said, when you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When you said, seek me first, right? And all these things, like what Jesus Christ said, He was just saying, reiterating the same truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. So when we see that encouragement to seek God first, what's our response? I'll get to you later. Is that our response? No. Our response is, okay, I'll seek you. I'll seek your face because I want to dwell in your presence. There's no other greater place to be. No one has anything better for me than God. Seek thy face. I said, okay, I'll seek your face. Hide not thy face far from me. Now don't make it difficult for me to seek your face. Thou hast been my help. Right? Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And then again, it's looking from a position of not having received salvation yet. Right? And so he's just asking, God, boy, don't be mad with me because I know I'm not perfect. Don't hide from me. I'm seeking you. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. Even if my own mom, my own dad forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a path, in a plain path, because of mine enemies. It needs to be plain for me, because I've got a lot of enemies out there. And we all have enemies. We all have one enemy, a common enemy, the adversary. He steals, kills, destroys. That's his only, its only purpose. Is to steal, kill, and destroy from a believer. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? It says in Ephesians. But against powers, principalities from on high. You know, devilish things, devil spirits. You know, we all have those enemies. So we need the power of God. And we need to keep the thing plain. It's very plain, very simple. What we need to do, trust Him. Stay our mind upon Him. And He'll keep us safe. He'll keep us in perfect peace. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, verse 12 says, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. It's not, you know, the world is not a great place out there. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Huh? I'd have gotten discouraged if it were not for the fact that I have seen what God can do. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. He'll keep you strong. See? Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a great psalm. What a great psalm. You know, it's all about God and what He has promised to do for us by His grace and His mercy. We stay our mind on those things. We see what He has done for us, the price that He has paid for us, and that He has committed Himself to us. And we just dwell in His presence and let Him take care of us. And He will. He will. See? And He will keep you in perfect peace. No more fear. No reason to be afraid. You've got God working on you. You've got the power of God in you. It's a great thing to remember. Especially because the world is the world. And it always has been, always will be. But God is still God. And He will do what He has promised He'll do. All right? So, Father, we're grateful for Your blessings. Thank You that You have committed Yourself to us, and that as we do trust You, and keep You in mind, keep all Your great work of grace and mercy to us in our hearts and minds, that You keep us in perfect peace because You do more and more for us. Thank You, Father, for these things. Thank You for continuing to open great doors for each of us to share Your word and to do the things that we need to do for jobs, for health, for whatever it is that we require of You, Father, that You're there for us. Thank You that we can continue to stay our mind on You and Your great ability to bless us. Thanks, Father, for these things. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ.